Hi, I'm Neil Stavem. Thanks for checking out this podcast from Connecting Faith. You can hear the show live each weekday at noon on Faith Radio. And there are many more podcasts for this and all our Faith Radio shows available online. Our web address is myfaithradio.com. And thanks for your gifts to this listener-supported ministry. Enjoy the podcast.
Always expect something good on your lunch hour. Connecting Faith with Life.
Hi, welcome to today's Connecting Faith. Thank you for your time to connect here on Faith Radio, and we'll talk about issues that really affect us maybe more than we realize, as we want to get a bigger picture of the world in which we live, and that God loves and cares about and has called us to go into all the world and to preach the gospel. What does that look like as the world population has hit 7 billion and continues to grow? We're going to talk about a couple of wonderful resources today that maybe it's, if you have a passion for the world, these resources might be just great for you. In fact, I've got a copy of one of them. We're going to talk today about Operation World, which is, we'll tell you more about that in a moment. And also there's a book that came out over the last maybe 6 months or so called The Future of the Global Church. And it's from Patrick Johnstone. It's talking about history, trends, and possibilities. It's, Ted, I don't know if you'd call this. This is one of those kind of tabletop books, but one that you'd actually you'd want to pick up.
Just a picture book, it looks like. A lot of good information.
Well, yes. Yeah, so that's probably, I know, that's discouraging some people right now.
Right.
Not enough pictures.
Well, there are maps.
There are lots of maps. You know, if you're, I'm into maps.
Yeah.
So this is.
It is helpful, actually, to know, like, you know, what is trending in certain parts of the world. Is Christianity on the rise in this area or underground church, all that stuff?
That's what we're going to talk about today. I'll introduce my guests in a moment. I should mention, too, though, speaking of, the church, we are in the midst of our Clergy Appreciation Month here. Of course, it's Clergy Appreciation Month, I guess, everywhere. But we do have a very special giveaway opportunity that we are just inviting you to sign up your pastor for. Thanks to Sunscape's Retreats, they're giving away a week-long retreat at one of their great retreat centers, either in Colorado, just outside Colorado Springs, or in Tennessee. And it's a ministry organization that actually specializes in providing retreats for pastors and ministry leaders. And we know that pastors and ministry leaders work hard and oftentimes get very little in the terms of kind of renewal and reward. And so this is a great opportunity to bless your pastor and spouse with this. So you just go on the website, myfaithradio.com, and then sign up. And we'll do the drawing here coming up at the end of the week.
It's a couple days, yeah.
Yeah. Wow. Month is going by. This is the time of year when they're, many churches are doing, have mission emphasis or missions conferences. I remember growing up, that was, about this time of year. It was sort of harvest season. And, boy, that was the time. And they would get sometimes very elaborate, and other times it was really bad, slideshows, but
sure.
I don't think Molly Wall was ever involved in any of those, so we'll find out. Molly Wall serves as a researcher at Operation World, and Operation World is widely regarded as the definitive volume of prayer information about the world. It was first published in 1964. It's now in its 7th edition, and this is just a great resource. And Molly came to Operation World through the U.S. Center for World Mission, where she had worked for a number of years and actually wrote some curriculum there. And U.S. Center is another great place as well. Grew up in Oklahoma, although I think, Molly, your voice sounds a little bit like you've adjusted to life in England, just a bit. Welcome to Connecting Faith.
Thank you. It's great to be here.
That doesn't sound like an Oklahoma accent. I'm just saying.
Well, fair enough. Yeah, I probably never had a strong Oklahoma, Texas accent to start with, but certainly I have adjusted to be understood in another context.
Well, we're glad to have you on with us. I want to maybe just to start out, just say a word a little bit about Operation World. I mean, people that are aware of, I guess, you know, mission work and maybe are involved in some sort of mission enterprise some way, or maybe even the on the missions committee of their church, probably are familiar. But talk about this best-selling resource.
Sure, my pleasure. As you said, Operation World got its start in 1964, which means that this is our 50th year, which is kind of exciting, and we're in our 7th edition. And really, we sometimes use the tagline, research that inspires prayer and prayer that inspires action, because that's what the resource is really all about. Some know it as a book of statistics or information or global trends or even as a missions book, like you said, but I think our primary goal and hope is to be a tool for prayer for the nations of the world.
You know, I think believers know prayer is important and really even vital for God's kingdom advance. But so how do we really know how to pray effectively for the nations or unreached people groups or, God bless the missionaries is not a particularly effective prayer.
Well, prayer is such a mystery, you know. How does God answer when and why? We don't know how we're called to be part, but certainly we want to do our best to follow the prayer that Jesus set out in the Gospels and praying for God's kingdom come and his will be done on earth. And so we've taken that and tried to flesh that out country by country across these 50 years, the different editions, and really try to explore what it would mean for the global church to unite in prayer with believers from every country, all praying the same way for the different nations, and trying to pray into a long-term vision of the kingdom coming and God's will being done in that nation. And I think that's where our prayer points come from. There are a lot of agencies or organizations that put out excellent prayer points, maybe more up to the minute, what's happening next week, a conference or an election and such. But we've really tried to look at the longer term view and look at what it means to pray into a situation to see it changed in the long haul. And so that's where some of the prayer points come from in Operation World.
You know, you talked about praying for different countries, but since Operation World was first published back in 1964, I mean, there have been a lot of, I guess we'd say, advances perhaps in our understanding of countries, more in terms of people groups. In fact, unreached people groups was probably a term that wasn't even on the map much till what, in the 70s, and Ralph Winter and Lauzon, I think, and some of the... So talk about how it's not even so much countries anymore as it is people groups and what we mean by that.
Right. Well, I would say it's a both and certainly one of the key aims of Operation World is to highlight within every country where are the places or the peoples or the groups that have the most access to the gospel, and then where are the regions of the country or the different ethnic groups within a country that have been overlooked. Maybe there are Christians in the country, but not within that language group or people group, and the hidden peoples or the unreached peoples, and trying to highlight those and focus on those for prayer, especially. So that's been the case as well. I don't think Operation World is still built around a country framework at the moment, so it goes country by country rather than people by people, as some other materials might. But certainly it highlights the needs of both the country situation, because for many people that's their primary identification, but also for the people situation, because that's very much a factor.
You know, when we talk about unreached people groups, is there a baseline marker that determines that? I mean, how are those... is evaluated and determined?
An unreached people group. Good question. So without trying to get too research technical on you here, there are a lot of different groups of researchers, or at least a handful, that measure or mark that exact thing, and they don't all do it the same way. So that's can sometimes be a little confusing. You know, you see different lists of unreached peoples or a different total of how many unreached people groups there are, and they're different, and it sort of throws people off. But I think generally speaking, people are trying to measure the size of the church within a people group and how able that church is to multiply and reach its own people. And there are measures people use for the percent of Christians within that people or the percent of evangelical Christians within the people or different measures of access to the gospel. Are there any known Christians there? Are there any missionaries there? Is the scripture available in the language, or are other films or resources available, radio programs, etc.? And so all of those combine together as different ways different groups mark the number of unreached peoples.
God's kingdom is advancing, though, and we're going to get an update on the global church and talk a bit about the future of the global church as we continue our conversation with Molly Wall. Molly is one of the lead researchers at Operation World, and that they're based in just outside of London. She also was a curriculum developer at the U.S. Center for World Mission for a number of years. And we're going to talk a little bit about the future of the global church, about Operation World, about how we can more effectively pray, and invite you to join the conversation. If you have a question, maybe just have been involved in some missions committees, and or perhaps you've used Operation World as something you used in your family, your church. We'd love to hear your story. Just get some feedback on that. You can call us at 877-933-2484, 877-93-FAITH. And we do have a copy of The Future of the Global Church, which we'll give away here at the end of the hour. So if you'd like to just be in the drawing for that, a great opportunity for you and your family to help grow and understand more about the world in which God has placed us in and how we can be advancing His kingdom in our part of the world. So all that coming up in more with Molly Wall in just a second. The global church and the outreach, the global church, the advance of God's kingdom today. Happy to have you along. This is Connecting Faith, 17 past the hour. 877-93-FAITH is our phone number. I've got a copy of Patrick Johnstone's great book called The Future of the Global Church. It includes history, trends, possibilities. It's full color, lots of graphs and texts, and it looks at the past, present, and possible future of the church around the world, and I'd love to just put that in your hands. One of the associates of Patrick Johnstone, who started Operation World back in the 60s, is Molly Wall. Molly is a researcher with Operation World at their headquarters outside of London, talking with us today on Connecting Faith. And we'd love to have you join the conversation as well. It's 877-93-FAITH. Molly, you talked about statistics and graphs and charts and all those things. I know that Operation World has a lot of that. And as a researcher, I'm sure you like to kind of keep track of things. How about a big overview? I mean, what is the state of the global church today? Are there some big picture trends that you can give us? We've got a world population, 7 billion? So start breaking it down from there.
Yeah, good question. I think the first thing is to talk about this global church. What is it? How big? Where? Et cetera. And I think we'll start with how big is it? And by our counts and others, around 2010, the global church looks to be about 2.2 billion people. So that's just under a third of the world's population, or almost one in three people in the world that would identify themselves as Christian. Now, that represents a number of different traditions or confessions of Christianity. By our count, when we went to print in 2010, there were about 38,000 Christian denominations. So, and that number is increasing, so it's 2.2 billion people, but not exactly one big unified group, although at some level it is. That's a place to start. I think the next place is to look at the fact that there are Christians in every country of the world now. And that's not always been true. They may be part of the majority people or part of a minority group. They might be very easy to spot or very far hidden and underground. But there are now Christians in every country of the world. And so it's truly a global faith at this point.
And so just as you said that about Christians in every country, obviously we are becoming much more aware over these last few months that there are some pockets of Christianity where they have been there for centuries, who are you know, moving out of country. Think of maybe Syria or Iraq, for example. Talk a little bit about that. Are there places where you know, Christianity is sort of being forced to maybe relocate?
Yes, I think that on a bigger scale, the overall trend of migration is very much affecting global Christianity in two ways. One, there are parts of the world where the church has maybe declined in the recent centuries, for example, in Europe, where other aspects of the church are migrating into Europe from parts of the Caribbean or parts of sub-Saharan Africa and bringing the church back, in a sense, into those regions. But you also have parts of the world where there's been very little access to the gospel and people from those places migrating into heavily Christian areas, and so bringing access to the gospel different in that regard. But certainly in the one example that you've mentioned here, the decline, especially in the Middle East, of ancient Christian populations, some confessions that have been there for thousands of years now, at least for the time being, relocating and redistributing, that will affect the religious demographics of that area for a long time to come.
Just curious, I don't know if you know, is that something that is unprecedented in history, or has this happened kind of from, you know, generation to generation? There have been, you know, attempts to maybe eradicate a people group or, you know, a faith group, and they move out someplace else.
Sure. Well, I think we can probably go straight back to the Old Testament and looking at different ways of God's people being displaced or scattered, and New Testament times, as well as throughout church history. There have been other examples. So I don't think it's unprecedented, but certainly it is a fairly noteworthy event happening in our day, at least from that part of the world where a large body of Christians is relocating to other places. But it remains to be seen, really, how many will resettle or will settle elsewhere or will return or actually are living still proximate nearby but not fully out. And we'll just have to wait and see.
So 2.2 billion of the world's population, or about one in three, come from some sort of, or would claim some sort of Christian affiliation or faith. How about other world religions, maybe in comparison? Islam gets lots of attention, at least the radical element of that, but is Islam growing? Is Hinduism, Buddhism, some of those other world religions?
Sure. Overall, one thing to note is that despite what it may look like in your own context, especially if you're in a North American or a European context, the world is becoming more religious, not less religious. There are, as the former communist regimes become more engaged and convert to different world religions, then we see the religious population actually growing worldwide. So there is some growth within Buddhism, within Hinduism, some of the other smaller religious groups. Christianity and Islam are the two largest world faiths, and both grow. Now, Islam grows faster than Christianity, and Christianity has more kept pace with population growth. But there, when we talk about growth of a religious population, there are a lot of things to keep in mind, one of them being birth rate. as well as people converting. And so certainly in parts of the world or in areas where the birth rate is high, then the growth rate within that religious group is also high.
We've also heard about the center of Christianity shifting or moving. Let me just say more about that. I mean, obviously, we think in terms of, I guess, our North American perspective, as our framework, but this is not necessarily the center of Christianity any longer, is it?
Yeah, that's very true. And I think one thing that we like to emphasize is this issue of the global Christianity being about a third of the world's population. In 1900, Christianity was also about a third of the world's population. So in some respects, Christianity hasn't grown in a century. It's just kept pace with the population growth. And so that's an interesting fact. However, like you point out, within Christianity, there have been some massive changes and shifts. And one of those, as you've rightly said, is the shift in the makeup of the global church. In 1960, it was about 35% of the global church that lived in Latin America, Africa, or Asia. And by 2010, it was about 63%. And by 2020, or within a few years, it's likely to be closer to 70% of the global church based in Latin America, Africa, or Asia. And so that's a fairly radical shift that's happened just even in the last 50 years. And I don't think we've quite caught up with it all the way, although when we saw for the first time a Latin American cardinal being appointed as the Pope of the Catholic Church, as we've done in recent years, we can start to see some global expression of this shift that's happened.
Yeah, for us, it seemed like something out of the ordinary, but for the rest of the world, right, that would just be the normal, natural thing, perhaps, huh? Because if there's, you know, 60, 70% coming from Latin America or Asia or South America, you know, that would just be a natural choice, wouldn't it?
Yeah, you would think so, but because of Christian history and where some of the leadership and the resource has been housed, at least for the last couple hundred years, maybe the effects of that are slow to be seen, even though the reality is that most of the world's Christians are not North American or European. The idea of Christianity being a white man's religion or a European religion is well and far behind us now, although that I do still run into people who hold that perception still. So it's slow to catch up in a way, but certainly it's a marked shift.
Hmm. Talking about some shifts in global Christianity and, more importantly, how we can pray, effectively, research that inspires prayer and prayer that inspires action, one of the the goals of Operation World. And we're talking with the researcher Molly Wall, who is part of the Operation World team. It was started, Operation World, widely regarded as the definitive volume of prayer information about the world, first published back in 1964. It's now in its seventh edition. And it is the recipient of the Gold Medallion Award for Excellence in Evangelical Christian Literature and listed in Christianity Today's top 50 books that have shaped evangelicals. And I hope that you've maybe seen it at least. Maybe your church library has a copy. We do have a copy of Patrick Johnstone's latest work, The Future of the Global Church, History, Trends, and Possibilities. We're giving that, doing a drawing here at the end of the hour, giving that away. Love to have you sign up for that with a phone call at 877-93-FAITH, 877-933-2484. And you're welcome to share maybe a story or a question with us today as we talk more with Molly, who serves as one of the researchers at Operation World, talking more about global church, mission, outreach, evangelism, and prayer. All that coming up here in just a moment, 877-93-FAITH. You're listening to Connecting Faith.
Well, the other side of the world is not so far away as the thought that it was. The thought that it was so far away. The other side of the world is not so.
We're talking about the global church today and focusing particularly on a great resource called Operation World. When we pray, God works, and it's an opportunity for us to use a resource like this to pray more effectively and specifically for God's kingdom advance. And Molly Wall is with us today. She's one of the researchers at Operation World, a team based outside of London, and started back in the mid-1960s, 1964, the first published one. If you've ever been to an Urbana Student Missions Conference or even probably your missions conference at your church, you perhaps are aware of Operation World, and maybe you've used it in your church. In fact, we'd love to hear if you've used it as a prayer tool, maybe for your family or your Sunday school class or your church. Love to hear your story. And you can call us at 877-93-FAITH. It's 877-933-2484. We heard that little music bumper there about the other side of the world. Molly, I'm thinking, of course, you spent your time growing up in Oklahoma, Texas area, and now living in England. But, you know, the fact is that we don't have a lot of geographic knowledge, I think, particularly for today's high school students and average American. I'm assuming probably that Christian population isn't much better informed about the people and places of the world. What's your assessment is in maybe why is something like Operation World so important in this aspect?
Sure. Well, I think, and maybe as an American I can say this gingerly, but I think that the real dominance of American culture around the globe in a lot of ways does make it difficult sometimes for Americans to understand or maybe even to notice other cultures and nations without making a significant effort to do so. And certainly everyone in every country is ethnocentric in that regard, you know, focused on their own area. But I do think it's often takes some effort to really look at what's going on around the world. And I think one thing that Operation World does for Americans, but for anybody from any part of the world, and we do have people following along and praying along from over 40 or 50 countries usually, and I think it provides a way to unify believers, and to give us a unified set of information and an understanding of the church in the various countries, but also a way to unite in prayer for those peoples and those countries.
So how could we pray differently than, I guess we maybe kind of addressed a little bit, but give us some examples of what maybe specific things we could be praying for if we were utilizing a resource like Operation World.
Right. Well, I think people use it different ways. It's if you grab a copy or even if you just go to the website and have a look, you can go country by country and get a little snapshot of the political or economic situation there, but then some specific points to pray for. And we've got a calendar set up in the front of the book, and it's what we follow on our Facebook page or on our website. And it provides a way for someone to pray through the world in a year, or even if you don't have time to do it every day, to once a week pick the country of the day for that day and pick a prayer point and pray for that along with the daily calendar.
What's the website? Is it just operationworld.org or .com?
That's it. Yep.
Operationworld.org. Okay. So you could find a prayer calendar there or some daily some tips there as well. Okay.
Yep. I think you can sign up for an email also that'll feed you every day a link to the prayer point for that day.
We're talking a little bit about not only Operation World, but the future of the global church. Patrick Johnstone, who founded and began Operation World back in the 60s, the first edition, has since, I think, sort of semi-retired. So he's doing the projects he wants now instead of what everybody else wants, something like that. Molly Wall is my guest today, who is one of the researchers at Operation World, part of the team there. Also spent time at the U.S. Center for World Mission doing curriculum and has done some teaching in the past. But let's talk a little bit about, in terms of the future of the global church, how maybe evangelistic outreach is changing. You've been involved in a mission enterprise here for a dozen or more years. Even in that span of time, what are you seeing, or maybe as you've looked historically, what's different now in terms of the gospel advance compared to maybe 100 years ago?
Right. Well, I'm glad you gave me a chance to address that because, as I said a little earlier, the Christianity on the whole has not really changed that much as a percent of the world's population in over 100 years. But that isn't to say that Christianity isn't growing, or that different movements within Christianity aren't growing. And in fact, evangelical Christianity, or the evangelical expression of the faith, has radically grown. In fact, it's been one of the fastest growing religious movements of the last 50 years. And where there were about 2.9% of the world's population that would have called themselves evangelical in 1960, by 2010, it's getting close to 8% of the world's population, or about 1 in 4 Christians would consider themselves evangelical. And that growth has come largely, as I mentioned before, in new areas, sub-Saharan Africa, parts of Southeast and East Asia, China is a place where a large growth has come, in parts of Latin America. And so that's really changed the nature of the global church, but it's also changed the nature of missions, and of prayer movements, and of any kind of international level conferences or agencies or interactions that believers have together. And that's been a really exciting shift and exciting change. And another piece of that is the growth of the charismatic movement within global Christianity, not just American Christianity, global Christianity, and that has really changed the nature of how Christians express themselves around the world.
Are there any examples where you mentioned that some 40 or 50 countries are using Operation World, are having focused prayer for the nations. Are there some examples of where we see prayers being answered, and where the church, can we, make a correlation, say, there's been a prayer movement among Muslims, for example, for 30 years, and now, we're seeing outreach take place?
Yeah, well, I think that always gets to be a hard one. We do try to highlight areas where we know we've prayed and where God has answered. And I think of one that stands out to us a lot. I think in the 1970s, someone asked Patrick Johnstone, who you've mentioned, the founder, which countries looked the most impossible to him for God to really break through and bring about a harvest of believers. And he named two countries. He named Albania and Mongolia. And there were strong prayer movements praying for Albania in particular, and Mongolia as well. And now, of course, we look at both those countries and see that there has been a real breakthrough in the last 20 to 30, up to 50 years. Those countries have growing evangelical churches. They're sending out missionaries, and just a complete change, where he looked at it and it looked really bleak. But we know that by prayer, by action of those available, ready to go, going, sowing the seed, that in time God did bring about a harvest.
Are there similar characteristics of, I guess, what we'd call hard countries, or areas where, the fields are, or the ground is difficult to plow?
Yeah, I think so. We kind of have looked sometimes at why are there certain countries where there seems to be a real outpouring of the Spirit and a real breakthrough, and then other ones right next door that maybe are very similar where it doesn't seem to be happening. Why more in Algeria, where there's been some real turning to Christ in recent years, but not in Tunisia next door? Or why in Iran, where there's been a great movement to Jesus in the last 30 to 50 years, but not in Turkey as much, which is more open and has more workers there? So the big question is always, why? why not? And I guess we don't ever really get to know, but we do know that by prayer, by continual labor and sending out of workers and sowing the seed and being the hands and feet of Christ among a people, that in time God will reap a harvest.
So you're a researcher looking at data, but can we predict the future of the global church with any sort of accuracy? And
yeah.
If so, what does that tell us?
Yeah, I think it's a great question. And certainly, you know, Patrick's written this whole book about the future of the global church, where he's made all kinds of predictions, and but he himself will say, if current trends continue, here is what he predicts will happen. And I think that there's great merit in doing exactly that. And we do the same thing with Operation World. If current trends continue, here's what's likely to happen. But we can't ever predict the unexpected. By nature, it's unexpected, or sudden changes that do come, that do happen. And so we can't you know, solidly say, here's what's coming. But I think we can look and say growth is likely to continue. It's likely to continue in parts of East and Southeast Asia, other parts of Asia, where the growth has been coming the strongest, where the largest numbers of non-religious are becoming more religious, in places like China, which has a large population. I think we can also look and see, look at the unevangelized population or those without access to the gospel, and know that without intentional effort and intentional intercession, those people, and it's close to 2 billion people also, will remain without access to the gospel, again, if current trends continue. And so that is a call to the church. Yes, there are Christians in every country, but there remain almost a third of the world's people without any access to scripture in their language, or without knowing another Christian, or without missionaries working among their people, etc.
That seems pretty sobering and staggering to think that 2 billion, I mean, almost a third of the world's population, just is completely unreached. I mean, we, you know, we're in this information society, instantaneous connection everywhere. I mean, we see, you know, people in every continent with cell phones. So, I mean, how can that still be?
Yeah, well, it is really a staggering thing to think about, like you say, because on the one hand, it's decreased from what it was 50 years ago. It was about 50% of the world's population that was considered unevangelized in 1960. By 2020, it's looking at being just under 30%, about 2 billion people. I think one thing to keep in mind is where these populations are located and what context they're living within. And you may know that within the last 10 years, the world population shifted to being about 51% urban versus rural, whereas historically the world's population has lived primarily in a rural context. And so we're thinking more in terms of cities and these massive urban agglomerations and how that changes the way people interact and where churches are planted and such. And that's all very true and real. But we have to remember that about 49% are still living in a rural context and fairly isolated and perhaps connected in various networks by mobile technology, but generally speaking, not engaging the way that I am in London with people from all over the world, rather remaining isolated within their own language, within their own people. And if there are no believers and no churches and no scripture, then there's really not a way outside of a supernatural encounter for those people to encounter the gospel at this point.
Hence the need to pray. When we pray, God works. We're talking about great resources from Operation World and Patrick Johnstone. Operation World is research that inspires prayer and prayer that inspires action. Patrick has also written The Future of the Global Church. Do have a copy of that great resource to give away. It includes history, trends, and possibilities, a number of graphs and text to provide some past, present, and future perspective on the church. And we'll do the drawing here at the end of the hour. If you'd like to sign up for that, you can give us a call at 877-93-FAITH, 877-933-2484. We'll talk a little bit about finishing the task. What does that mean? We'll get some perspective from Molly Wall, who serves as a researcher with Operation World, talking to us today from their offices in London. Happy to have her on the line with us. This is Connecting Faith, and there's more coming up in a moment. past the hour, talking with Molly Wall today, one of the researchers at Operation World. Operation World is widely regarded as the definitive volume of prayer information about the world. In its seventh edition, you can also find it online, operationworld.org, and I highly recommend that to you. And to become part of a global prayer movement, praying for the advance of God's kingdom. And there have been, Molly, discussions over the years about finishing the task of evangelism. You know, if there's 2 billion unreached, but, you know, we have great resources from the Jesus Film to Global Mission Radio to, you know, a great work of Wycliffe and others. What does it mean in your mind to see the task finished, and where might we be on that continuum?
Right. Well, I think from our perspective at Operation World, we really think of it, as I mentioned back at the beginning, in terms of praying for God's kingdom to come and his will to be done on earth as it is in heaven. And so what does that mean? Well, it means that probably there's going to have to be vibrant, growing, mature churches planted and multiplied among every people in order for there to be no more unevangelized, you know, in order for everyone to have had access to hearing the gospel and encountering Jesus in a way that they can understand. And so I think however different groups are looking at measuring things, what they're wanting to look at and measure is, you know, where are we along the way? Are there vibrant, mature churches planted and multiplying among every people or not? And the answer, as I've said before, is no, there actually aren't. There's been great progress in the last 25, 50 years. And I think it's good to recognize that it's really only been in recent decades that we even are aware of the world's peoples and where they're living and what access to the gospel they may or may not have. And so that's been a relatively new discovery, and that gives us even more and greater ability to understand where the needs remain, where Bible translation needs remain, and where it remains a need for Christians to be local or proximate or encountering their neighbors who have never met a Christian.
So are we seeing strategic shifts maybe in approaches, in methods, in the ways that we maybe target groups in terms of, you know, effectively sharing cross-culturally?
Yeah, I think we have. I think we've seen a number of people groups where there was no they were considered unevangelized. There was no access that now have churches and now are sending missionaries. They're participating with the global church in this Great Commission effort. And so it has happened, but it is true. It's kind of a both and. Like I said, there's less of the world's population by percent now than 50 years ago that has that has access to the gospel. But it's more people. What I mean is that unevangelized population is also the part of the world's population that grows the fastest by birth rate. And so even though we've made great strides forward and great progress, our evangelization efforts aren't keeping up with the rate at which that part of the world's population is growing. So in a sense, that's a good news, bad news kind of scenario.
Are we keeping up in terms of, you know, the workers going into the fields white to harvest? I mean, you hear the number of missionaries maybe declining.
Well, I guess depends on where you're looking at that number from. Certainly globally, there are many more workers available from many more countries getting engaged and getting involved, parts of diasporas or moving around, or just highly evangelistic groups migrating to other parts of the world and through their vibrant faith, attracting many people to faith. So I'm not sure that missionary numbers worldwide are declining, but it remains the case that far and away the majority of missionaries or Christian workers go to work where there already is a church, and to go to work alongside existing churches or to help those churches grow and reproduce or to train, et cetera. And that's all wonderful ministry, but it does leave the I don't know if you want to call it pioneer work or the frontier work or work trying to introduce the gospel where it's not been introduced before, the percent of the world's mission force focused on that effort is quite small.
You know, it seems that, as you said, the world's becoming more religious, not less. But at the same time, there's certainly maybe the battle lines, if you will, seem like they're much clearer in terms of certainly opposition to Christianity. You think of the radical elements of Islam or maybe, you know, Hinduism and, you know, attacking other faiths. So, I mean, do you see there, you know, this is not just about politics and, you know, geography or ethnicity, right? I mean, there is sort of a sense of spiritual, you know, maybe confrontation in many ways, isn't there?
Yeah, that's a really interesting question. I think it's probably far more complex than we could unpack here, but I don't know that there's an increase in religious conflict or conflict between religious groups, whatever's at the root of that, whether it's politics or ethnicity rather than religion, is really hard to sort out sometimes. Certainly within all of the global faiths, we've seen maybe a resurgence of fundamentalist movements within those groups, whether it's Buddhists or Hindus or Muslims or Christians also, that have sometimes militant expressions of their faith, and that's come about more. But certainly persecution is strong. A lot of that growth, the evangelical growth I've mentioned, has been in the context of persecution. But it's also important to remember that a great deal of religious persecution comes between other religious groups, comes between different sects, you know, Christians persecuting other Christian groups or Muslims persecuting other Muslim groups as well. And so it's a really complex topic, yeah. This one.
You know, we know historically there have been awakenings, at least in North America, and you know, the Welsh Revival and others. Are there any based on maybe, you know, history and trends? Can we see awakenings again of that sort of massive influence and cultural change?
Well, as I mentioned before, there seems to have recently been some real awakenings or movements to Christ within Algeria and Iran. I would say Cambodia is another place where that seems to have happened. Within China, the growth of the church in the last 50 years there has been absolutely remarkable. There are other areas where sometimes when we're putting together Operation World, we just palpably long, you know, when will we get to write about a breakthrough in North India or in the Yemen or you know, other places in the world where it maybe seems really difficult and dark at the moment, but trusting that as we pray and as we continue to send out workers and to see God work in the world one day, we will get to write about the breakthrough in those countries as well.
To continue to pray, that is at the heart of all that you're doing, right? It's that the God's people might actually commit to praying specifically and strategically that God's will would be done, His kingdom would come.
Absolutely. I think we don't understand why God links His actions to our prayers, but it appears throughout Scripture that He does, and we take that to heart and try to keep the global church informed of what's happening country by country so that we can really labor by faith and in love and in prayer for the peoples of the world.
Molly, it's been great to visit with you, and I don't know, we just have about 30 seconds left. I don't know if there's anything else you want to add, but just thank you again for being part of the broadcast today.
Absolutely. It's been a pleasure. Thank you.
Molly Wall came to Operation World back about 5 years ago from the U.S. Center for World Mission, where she had been doing some curriculum writing and teaching there as well. And as part of the research team at Operation World, you can find out more about their great material online, operationworld.org. Operation World, widely regarded as the definitive volume of prayer information about the world. And as Molly mentioned earlier, it's about research that inspires prayer and prayer inspiring action. And It's our hope that as you listen today, you'd be more challenged to become committed to praying daily for our world, for the kingdom advance, and that you would invite God to do work in your life in that area. We thank you again for listening to the show today. Molly Wall joining us on Connecting Faith. If you missed part of it, want to pass it on to a friend, you can always go to our website to check out the show page at myfaithradio.com. That's myfaithradio.com.